I'm beginning to feel like my head's swimming.
Of course, it's your torn suit. Zombie takeout is getting through. Hello, and welcome to episode 466. I said it correctly that time. Of Zombie Takeout, the B-movie movie show. I'm not a robot.
Normally when someone does a rerun, they take the episode off and just play the episode that was recorded before this.
Right. Yeah, we could have, but we're actually filming this, we're recording this again. We haven't filmed it all the time. Actually, no, the last one was not on film. It was 2020.
I'm Scotto.
And I, like I said, not a robot.
And also not a robot.
And without any further ado, on to this week's movie. I'll explain the not a robot bit a little bit. On to this week's movie, Voyage to the Planet of Prehistoric Women from 68. This is our Peter Bogdanovich tribute. And of course, that brings us to the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by Found Footage, boring audiences since 1965.
And also brought to you by Recycling. This saved a lot of film development chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
Very environmentally friendly. And you know what? If I was a robot, I think my self-preservation program would have hit stop on this movie. Maybe 20 minutes into it.
I was telling you off air, and I haven't mentioned it on the show before. I was diagnosed with ADHD last month. This fucking proved it to me. Like, this was such a test to get through.
This was,
not because it was essentially, yeah, particularly bad. It wasn't, like, a hard to watch. It was just hard to pay attention to.
Right. All right. So
anyway,
the joke is, of course, the joke again being on us.
Mm-hmm.
This goes back to 2020. We reviewed a movie called Voyage to the Prehistoric Planet. Why can I see the? Oh, that was episode 424.
Part of our 2020 trilogy.
And you see, that movie was Corman bought the rights to this Russian movie
Planet Burr
and kind of redubbed it, filmed some extra scenes Godzilla style.
Mm-hmm.
And just repackaged it for an American audience,
and he did it again 3 years later.
But this is, of course, even more batshit crazier.
Yeah,
because he took the same movie, the same dubbing, and handed it off to a very young and promising director.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I understand, he told him he couldn't redub anything. All he could do was just film some women, because it had to have women to get produced. This cost that much to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then he could do a narration. So the movie is essentially, there's a mission to Venus. I think this one, they changed it a little bit. It was the first mission, got hit by a comet.
Mm-hmm.
Something right. Got hit by a comet. I was confused with the first one, what got hit by a comet and what didn't get destroyed by getting hit by a comet.
Right.
But there
no
was
comet
a ship,
this time.
There was a ship that made it to Venus, but they lost contact and then decided to launch a second ship
right
with
away.
Our humble and faithful narrator who went to find them. And yeah, somehow they did it right away. I think the original one, which I just listened to that review, they launched them from a space station and not from Earth.
Right.
This, they launched them both from Earth and they docked at a space station. The other difference is that the prehistoric planet took place in 2020 and was part of our 2020 trilogy of movies taking place there. This is in 1998.
Was it 98 or 2000?
It was. He was telling the story from the year 2000.
Okay,
he said this happened 2 years earlier.
Right, and then it was all flashback.
And right, because if there's one way, interesting way to tell a story, it's just by flashback and narration, Peter.
And then, tell most of it with flashback and narration, and then start it with, like, a 10-minute school film strip.
Yes! Oh, my God. That was a very cringy school footage thing that they started out with, and racist too. Pretty much the part of like, as humans, traveled from Europe across the sea and, settled, colonized the other land, we're gonna do this again in space. I was like, do you hear what you're saying, dude?
So they send the second mission up to rescue the first mission.
Yes, but here's the big difference. And one of the titles of the last episode I had was Eight Characters in Search of a Conflict, because my complaint with the original was there was absolutely zero conflict. There was no antagonist.
Except for the terrain.
There were some random people in dinosaur suits running around. There was lava, and for some reason the robot couldn't handle water, but there was nothing that they were going up against. Well, Bogdanovich brilliantly added a conflict. The aliens, which we never get to see in the original, and that's one of my criticisms of the original, like, should they have at least, met them? I compared the original in that episode to the scene in A New Hope, the early part of New Hope, where 3PO and R2 are wandering the desert and nothing really happens in that part of the movie, but it was like that was the whole movie. So instead, here we actually have these aliens who speak telepathically because, there's no voice track. Now, I hope you didn't misunderstand the text I sent you. I didn't say this was the best movie we've
No,
seen.
beast. I
This
got it.
is the beest movie we've ever seen. Breen, Clerks, whatever, they have, dialogue tracks. This movie did not anywhere, except for the dubs.
Just to point something out, we normally don't talk about the things we're going to be reviewing until we start recording. In both cases this week, the movie and the album, one of us messaged the other to vent.
Well, I was freaking out, honestly. At first, I was kind of like, this seems kind of familiar. Huh. Because, the first opening scene is different. But then when they start getting into the story, I'm like, oh, I must have seen this on Misty or something. And then it was when they got to the vulture, I can't remember the vulture's name from Bugs Bunny, but the astronaut they dubbed with the vulture voice. Who I was like, was he supposed to be Canadian? Because he's like, hey, we landed, eh? Wait. Then I was like, oh my God, we have fucking reviewed this movie already.
When I got to the scene that we, and I think we're skipping the plot summary at this point, we've moved on.
Let's see, they wander around, nothing really happens, except this time, the things that happen at random are summoned by these aliens. These, well, aliens. It's their home. We're the aliens in this movie.
Fair
We
point.
landed on their
We're the
planet.
colonizers.
We're the colonizers. The natives of the planet summon the forces of nature against them somehow, and when the forces of nature aren't good enough to vanquish us, they turn away from their god. I'm sitting here thinking at the end, you were able to, like, make it rain and have a lava thing and shit. That's kind of cool, actually. Stick with that god. But no, they turn away.
And the astronauts, well, one of the astronauts falls in love with this woman's voice he's hearing singing. It's kind of like the original Star Trek theme she sounds like. And
What
they kind
was
of have
that in
to,
the original?
yeah, that's true. That was in the original, or in the last one. I don't know about the original. I don't think either of us have
Okay,
seen Planet
yeah,
Earth.
I keep saying the original. I keep saying that Voyage to the Prehistoric Planet is the original,
No.
but no, it's not. The first version, we'll say. The first Americanization.
Anyway,
Hilarity ensues.
yeah, they the natives, scare the astronauts enough, the colonizers enough that the colonizers fuck off, and they save their planet. And there's a little surprise at the end that we'll get to because it's the only thing I fucking liked in the movie. They bring a robot with them, the named Robot John, hence the "I'm not a
Yes,
robot" bit.
you had a problem with that in the first version.
Was it Robot John? Okay, I
Yes, it
didn't remember.
was. They None of the dialogue is changed from
Okay.
those dub scenes.
Oh,
They
wow.
changed fucking nothing.
So when it got to the scene we used in the intro on both episodes, I panicked. I'm like, wait, did I just spend a half hour on the wrong fucking movie? Went and checked it out. I'm like, no, I'm watching the right movie.
Well, right. Normally I stay away from IMDb while we're watching things. And this time I was like, I'm freaking out. This, like, what is this? What have we done? And then I realized, oh, you know, they handed Bogdanovich this footage and said, make something out of this.
He stuck a school film strip on the top of it. Yes. I was impressed that they got models for the Apollo in 68. Mm-hmm. It was a clear time filler and excuse for not really having a plot.
Right. Well, and, there is more of a plot to this one than there was to the last, yeah, at least. True, true.
But then we abruptly cut to the actual movie. The effects were decent. The rocket takeoff and some of the models were nice.
And I think that's what Corman saw in this. Like, I'm not sure what year the Russian version was done.
62.
62? Holy shit.
That was released in 62.
That is really impressive for 62. Yeah, I don't think I didn't ask that question last time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the models were nice. But I also thought it was just going to be a voiceover the whole fucking time.
It pretty much was, though.
Like, there was a little bit of you know, narration, you know, they left in some of the original dialogue, but
yeah, they took what they had dubbed and they did a good job of dubbing it in 65.
Yeah.
And then when I realized they were just, you know, kind of voiceovering the women too, it was like, oh my God.
I loved the line, this is truly a prehistoric planet. I had to think, no, that's the other one.
Well, I was like, you know, and you know what? I should have been tipped off right there, but I still wasn't. I was like, it can't be a prehistoric planet if it's in the present.
Right, yeah, true.
Prehistoric means a time before they recorded history. Now, no one's recording history on that planet, but that's we're true. Recording history.
So it technically is a prehistoric planet, you know, until we colonize it.
I guess you could say any planet that doesn't have someone recording history is prehistoric.
Right. I also appreciated the Space Station Texas reference. Write your own jokes. Now, the first thing that kind of, and I didn't listen to much of our previous review, so I may have bitched about this before. The second ship that launches in pursuit of the first ship, they're just wearing regular clothes. The astronauts on the first ship were wearing the spacesuits, you know, the normal launch attire. These guys were just in, like, you know, zip-up sweaters.
Yeah. And then, but on the planet they were wearing suits, weren't they? Or
well, that
they...
makes sense because it's a, you know, alien, it's a, another planet. They don't know if it's breathable. But on the first ship, the astronauts, while in flight, were wearing flight suits, which is what you do.
Yeah.
These guys in the second ship were just in regular clothes, like a significant amount of time had passed, like hundreds of years where they could do that now.
Yeah, like Star Trek, where they're just walking around with, like, you know, spandexy kind of...
Right. Yeah.
Shirts.
And I thought Bogdanovich's monologuing was bad, but then the actor's actual dialogue happened. Oh, it was painful. One nice touch, there were a couple of underwater shots, very brief ones, with no sound.
Yeah.
That was a nice touch.
Was this Bogdanovich's addition, or was this from the original?
I'm imagining it was probably a Bogdanovich touch. Because I don't think they would have thought to, like, just cut the sound in an underwater scene. Like, there at least would have been a score.
Oh, that's right, because he also did, like, the seashell going into the water.
Right. But what I have in my notes, there isn't enough caffeine in the world to keep me focused on this movie. Because I had, like, 3 cups while watching it.
I was able to stay awake through this one. Mm-hmm. Because, the last one, I confess to having to rewind it. Because I missed like the last 20 minutes of that one.
I liked the scene where Robot John had to force feed one of the astronauts a tablet of some sort, like it was a, anti-poison tablet.
Yeah.
I put out covers on my YouTube channel every week, or just about every week. This week I put out a very impromptu cover of White Rabbit.
Oh, wow.
So I just couldn't, a couple hours later, I'm watching this robot force feed a tablet to an alien. I'm thinking, one pill makes you larger and one pill makes you small. Also, there's no such thing as a harmless octopus. They're too smart to be harmless. Because there's a mention of just a harmless octopus.
Or how about the, when they're looking at the volcano erupting.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure people of Hawaii have seen this site.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There was a mention of, like, no one has seen something like this yet.
Right.
Lots of people around the world, have seen volcanoes erupt. The population of Pompeii got real familiar with that site.
I believe the local language in Hawaii, they call it Thursday.
Now, I think Bowie may have ripped this movie off a little bit.
Really?
The scene with the Venusian women carrying the corpse of their reptile god to the sea was very Ashes to Ashes.
You're right. That video for Ashes to Ashes, I forgot about that.
Now, question. Who do you think hired worse actors? Corman? Or actually, I guess it would have been the director of Planet Burr or Ed Wood.
Okay, I was going to say, because Bogdanovich, I think, came through here. But, that's a tough one.
Okay, so most of the dialogue was actually from the original film.
I would say okay. Ed Wood. I'd go with Wood.
Yeah, probably. But yeah, I just, that scene of them riding the robot again was just too much for me.
It's not the last time, the indignity of a piggyback ride.
And there's a note on Wikipedia, and I mean, we all know not to trust Wikipedia most of the time, but it says it explicitly that there is the two movies, this one and Prehistoric Planet, do not share any footage.
Which is ridiculous.
And I was believing that until we got to that, that scene we used for the intro. And then the robot ride was, I know I saw that before.
Now, why? He was having problems with the heat, the lava, in his extremities, obviously.
Yeah.
But he was saying there was a problem with the weight that he was carrying. What would weight have to do with the extreme temperatures of lava?
Oh, I mean,
feet are burning up. But,
I mean, if they're melting, then the weight's going to make them melt faster, I guess. I don't know. Again, I was sad that the robot died instead of the astronauts. And the humor in this one. And this is why I'm, not sure if, the dialogue between the astronauts was the same. Because it came off really creepy in this one.
Yeah. Yeah, it did. They were very much like, hey, why don't you go out and find her and, fuck her or something.
It was kind of rapey. And that didn't come across in the last one.
I don't remember feeling that way either.
Yeah.
About the last one.
I did like the evolution lecture. That was a nice touch. The face in the rock, I know we saw that last time. That is such a nice prop.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was just so weird and...
I loved that they were destroying their statue of the reptile god because they realized that if a god can be killed, it might not be a god.
Why didn't they think of this when it was first killed?
Yeah.
It's killed, they throw it in the ocean, then they come back to the statue. All right, we should avenge you. Like, wait a minute. It's not alive anymore, man.
Yeah. And then, the very end, the only part I liked... Well, I liked that prop with the face. And then, they fish Robot John out of the lava.
I love it.
And make him their new god.
Now, did he somehow find that prop, I wonder? Or did he recreate it somehow? He had no budget for this.
No, no. Well, that was the same scene that was in the original film. They might have redubbed it a little bit, but... In terms of the acting, it was the same thing we saw last time.
Well, no. There were no women in the last one.
No, the face in the rock.
Oh, the face in the rock, yeah.
Yeah, that was the same exact prop. I love that prop.
No, I'm talking about the prop of John.
Oh, the big robot prop. Yeah, they yes. must have.
Like, did they get their hands on the original somehow? Did they just have another lying around?
I mean, it was he was covered in lava when they fished him out. Right, so right. It was like black foam core.
But it was a pretty, you know, cool replica of what they had. So yeah. it was impressive. And right. I mean, he had no budget. I think he said he filmed about 10 minutes worth of film that he added onto this thing.
They must have just found an artist to recreate that robot in black foam core that looked, you know, like solidified lava. No sequels or remix.
I really think this outdid Ed Wood as far as B movies go. This is just amazing.
I mean, arguably this could be a sequel or a remake, depending on how you look at it.
Yes, this is a remake.
On to brains. I love the ending with Robot John becoming their god. Like the little face in the rock, so I'm giving it one brain.
Oh, wow. We're switching, because, I just the sheer audacity of this. I mean, I enjoyed this more than the last one. I gave the last one one brain. And so at value itself, I'd give it two, but just the sheer audacity of taking footage like this and trying to cobble it together with the story. It just hats off to Bogdanovich for doing it. He found a conflict, albeit a ham-fisted, overdubbed, but still a conflict. I'm giving it three.
Yeah, the only way I would recommend watching this thing is if you marathon it with Planet Burr and Prehistoric Planet. That could be fun.
I really thought I was losing my mind like 15, 20 minutes into it. Like, what the fuck is going on here?
I just panicked because I thought Amazon had the wrong movie up. Anyway, what have we learned?
We learned that Deja Vu is,
And I learned that to make a movie, you don't need actors or money or even a script. You just need the will to reuse footage that the other guy wouldn't.
I would like to see someone make a movie of making this, actually. Just a scene of Corman and Bogdanovich. Just like, so, wait, you want me to, I can't redub anything? No.
The Ed Wood of this, the movie Ed Wood version of this.
Oh my God. Well, it's different because it's like, you know, a young director just starting out kind of, you know, he's about to do, you know, his big movie after this. You know, this is what he did before Last Picture Show.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
he does that in 71.
I was looking at Bob Donovich's credits. And I can't remember the name, but there was only like one movie on there that I liked.
He did such a varied work, you know.
By the way, sorry for referencing a Kevin Smith or a Kevin. Sorry, Kevin. What can't think of his last name.
Spacey.
It's Kevin Spacey thing. Sorry for referencing Kevin Spacey there. I just couldn't resist it. Fit too well. I did a Usual Suspects ref for my warrant. Anyway, that's it for Voyage to the Planet of Prehistoric Women. Until next time, we'll be reviewing A Farce of the Penguins, our Bob Saget tribute. I was kind of dreading that one, but now it's got to be better than this.
Yeah, there's no way it could be worse than this.
Until then, of course, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.
Yeah, the models were nice. I was taking a drink. I thought you were talking.
Oh.